Blog Talk Radio.
Like real men and women should on this Monday. Peace to all of y'all. Peace to all of y'all that I haven't spoken to since the new year has broken. I'm glad to see y'all here. I really, really, really am glad to see you here for next day, next month, next year. And I hope that we can keep doing this for years and years and years to come. You know what I mean? Because I plan to be around. You know, by the look of the draw, anything can happen. You should always be planning to make this thing happen. So that's what we're going to do. I know that's what I'm going to do. And I hope that that's what y'all going to do too. And it's going to be all right. And it starts right here. Right now, what is it? 7:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Daily Go Get a Mism Show. And tonight we are talking about when you know they ain't coming back to get you. They ain't coming back to get you. You know, some of us had parents. Some of us had parents who got us started on this type of thinking. If you've ever had a parent that was busy out there. Some people had parents when Some people had parents who had them when they were very young. So they were still out there running the streets, doing things, going out, having fun, living their lives, growing up, basically. And when that's the case, there may be times when your parents might leave you with a aunt, with your grandparents or with a friend of theirs or something like that. And they tell you, oh, nah, baby, you know, mommy got to work tonight. Daddy got to do this, blah, blah, blah. But I'll be back to get you tonight. Now, they told you that they was coming back to get you that night, but they brought all of your stuff that you would need to spend the night over there. You know, your young ass ain't supposed to be able to take those clues and those cues. Like, let's see. The last time she dropped me off here, we didn't even have no clothes. I had no clothes for the next day or whatever. She or he did come and pick me up the next day. Later on the next day, it wasn't like it was the next morning. They came when they came. But this time they talk about, oh no, I'll definitely be back tonight. I just got to do All right. So some children would stay up all night waiting for their parents. Like, all right, no. I ain't going to bed yet. My mom said, my dad said he coming back to get me. She said that she coming back to get me. So I'm going to just stay up until they get back. All night long. You know they ain't coming to get you when your grandmother insisted you take your ass to bed or you going to get that ass whooped. Like, nah, you got to go to bed. When your mommy come or when your dad come, I'll wake you up. But for right now, go upstairs, take that bath, put on those pajamas that your mom or your dad left for you. And look, even brought the security blanket, the teddy bear, your favorite spoon, everything you're going to need. Oh, brought your favorite spoon and your favorite bowl. Just in case, huh? Man, there's no reason to think that you're going to be spending the night just because you got clothes ready for tomorrow, you got pajamas for the night, your favorite spoon, your favorite bowl, your favorite fork. Yeah, and they just didn't show up. It be like that sometimes. Did it make you hate your parents or not like them? No, but it did let you know that sometimes or often when they said that they was coming back to grab you, that wasn't coming back. You knew what to look for. Like, oh, okay, oh, you be back, mom, okay. All right, some of y'all might have been smart little kids, like, oh, you coming back to get me tonight? Okay, I see you tomorrow, mom. And she looked like, oh, I think he knows. I think he got it figured out. Lulu Red Feather, what's good? What's good? How you feeling? Good to see me, some of you. Thanks for coming on through. It's always good to have my eyes on you. And it's true. And I think I saw. Okay, no, we good. Good to see me, some of you. I appreciate you coming through on the Instagram side. Emily Dunlap in the house. I said it. Emily was good. And YS Book. It's always a good look. My big sis, Robbie Ming. Cal Chamberlain, me father, Rita, Cherry, Dana Dane. My brother from another mother, Norris Hill. Charlene Curry. Charlene. Good to see me some of y'all, man. I mean, thanks for coming through. Thanks for coming out. So do y'all understand what I'm talking about? Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? See, the reason that I wanted to talk about that whole children thing is because things like that can really affect the child. It can affect the child's trust issues or dependence issues. Like, if you keep telling your children that you're going to do something that you know damn well that you're not going to do, you are limiting or stifling their ability to be able to depend on you. Like, I know that mommy or daddy will tell me one thing, but they'll do another thing and won't feel no kind of way about it. Sometimes they may come through with the excuse if I ask about it or whatever, but a lot of times they'll just blow it off like it ain't no big thing, which kind of lets you know how they feel about me. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't love their children or they don't love the child or whatever. It doesn't mean any of that. But in a child's mind, they're not able to process that type of information. So you tell a child that you want to come back and get them and you don't come back and get them, it's going to be a problem because you know children will wait. Children will wait. How many of y'all seen it? Did any of y'all see that Roxanne Shanté movie? Did y'all, you know, it was on Netflix. Garbage movie. It was terrible. The trailer for it, the previews for it, I was like, yo, I'm going to see the Roxanne Shanté movie. It's going to be all that. That shit straight suck ass. It was garbage. Only because, you know, Roxanne Shanté is a year older than me. So when she wrote Roxanne's Revenge, you know certain things because it was like y'all growing up together. You know, somebody young like that, you know, you was able to chronicle certain things. You know people from New York who may have known her, yeah, that kind of shit. Anyway, in the movie, her little sister, dad was supposed to come get it, was supposed to go come get them. So, you know, they get dressed in all of that because they think they going somewhere with their dad. So they on the park bench out in front of the projects, Queensbridge Projects. So they out there waiting for their dad. 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour, 5 hour, 6. They was waiting, waiting, and waiting. And when you see, you don't even have to know a child to know what's going on in a situation like that. You see a child out there dressed, they ready to go somewhere. And like, oh, they wait. They must be waiting on their dad to come, or whatever. They waiting on somebody to come through and scoop them. And when you see that they don't get, you know, get scooped, it's like, oh shit. Roxanne Shanté really felt some kind of way about that. Like, yo, why you want to do that shit? Why you want to have my little siblings out there waiting for you. You know how much they love you. You know how much they care for you. And you know how much they hang their hopes on spending time with you, especially when you said you was going to come through. It ain't matter where you said you was going to take them. Well, it could be the park. It could be to amusement park. It could be to the movie. It could be shopping. It could be go get some ice cream, whatever. When you tell a child that you coming back to get them, your ass got to go back and get them. Even if you're not going to spend all that much time, they need to see proof that you keep your word because they not asking for a lot. It ain't like you told them that you was going to come and get them and take them to Toys R Us. But maybe you told them you was going to take them to Toys R Us. They think they're going to go get some shit. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours passed by. They know Toys R Us. You know, they get to asking their mom, like, Mom, what time Toys R Us close? And mom, you know, she like, Toys R Us? I don't even know. Mom, can we call Toys R Us to see what time they close? Because daddy running late and maybe we want to make it before the store closes. See, the child is wisening up. Like, we know that we not going to Toys R Us. Toys R Us close at 9, 10 o'clock. And I've been waiting for daddy to come pick me up since 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So if the mom is hating on the dad, or if she has problems with a baby father, it's like she may handle it one way. She might get in there and be like, I told you that. Man, father ain't no fucking good. He ain't coming back. Listen, I'll take y'all to Toys R Us tomorrow or whatever, but I ain't got no whole lot of money. But we can go by there. We can get a little something, blah, 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 blah. Or she might be like, he may have gotten hung up, at work or something like that, you know, like, because you got to think this was before the age of cell phones. But if you put it in today's age, your kid's going to be blowing up your celly. They're going to be blowing it up, texting and calling like, yo, dad, you are you on your way? Yeah, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. So now you would have to show and prove a little better than back in the day. Back in the day, you wasn't home, couldn't nobody call you. Couldn't send out a Batman SOS. Just send out the bat signal. It'd be one big D. The D stands for daddy. Unless you're dealing with a man and a woman, then the D stands for. But that's a whole nother conversation. Emily Dunlap in the house, Emily. So, yeah, Robbie Mink says children don't forget nothing. They sure they ain't gonna forget when you tell them that you're gonna do something with them that they're looking forward to. Children love to spend time with their parents. They love that shit. They live for that shit. You don't have to spend a lot of money on a child. You really don't. Only time you have to spend a lot of money on a child is when you start making a child value what money buys. Other than that, kids just want to hang out with you, have fun. You create fun with them. You create fun with a child. My dad used to take me out in the woods. It wasn't even the real woods. It was just like I was in Fairmount Park. He would take me out of the woods and chase me. He would tell me, Omar, go ahead and run. And, you know, let me see if I can catch you. I'd be like, for real, Dad? He's like, yeah. My dad was fast. My little legs was fast, too. But my dad was fast. So he would let me run. And he'd be right behind me. And it would be like, I'm a duck behind the tree. I'm trying to weave my dad out and all of that. The most fun shit in the world. I ain't cost a dollar. My dad was paid. We parked the Cadillac out in front of the, we parked the Cadillac in front of the park. I ain't care about the money. It was the time. And I give my pop that. He ain't never tell me he was coming, he ain't show up. He ain't do that. Now, he might have been late. He might have did that, but if he said he was coming, he would come. But that built up trust between me and my dad. You know how yesterday we was talking about we cool, but there's no bond. That's how me and my dad got a bond. He knew what to do, and I knew that I could trust him. I could depend on him. He said he was coming. And he would fucking come. That's all I needed. Surely, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. What's going on, Mike? How you feeling? Good to see me. No doubt. So, yeah, it's just slippery slope. You know, don't tell a child that you coming through and then you just don't come through, don't follow through, don't call, don't do nothing. You don't want to do that. Cherry says, listen, I blame the other parent. Don't subject your children to bullshit when you already know your significant other was. I don't really think that has anything to do with anything, to be honest with you. Because a man can be a really shitty boyfriend or a terrible husband and be a dope-ass father. Some women ain't able to separate that shit. And the reason I say this is because I used to ask questions like this on Facebook. Like, do you think that a man can be a really, really terrible husband but be a great father? And a lot of women was like, no. Fuck no, you can't. But they was in their feelings. How you gonna say that because maybe a man can't practice fidelity with you, that he can't be a decent, nurturing, communicative, and guiding, respectable parent? Like, what that got to do with you? He ain't dating his kid. The two have nothing to do with each other. So it's never productive to blame the other parent. Because I've seen men do it too. I mean, your mom, you know, the reason me and your mom, I've heard motherfuckers actually say this shit. Oh, bitch ass niggas. The reason me and your mom ain't together because your mom cheated. She wanted to be with that other man or whatever, but that's why I got custody of you. Like, what the fuck are you doing, you old bitch ass nigga? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Now, if the tables was turned and this chick and your baby mom was speaking all bad about you, painting that narrative for your children and shit, like it got something to do with them. You would be screaming, holy hell. Like, that's why, you know, these black chicks out here, you know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. That's why I go get a white girl, because they ain't going to do you like that. That's what you would be talking about. But you going to do that shit? But nonetheless, when you know that they ain't coming back to get you, when you know that they ain't coming back to get you, sis. Yes, it's one of them things. Robbie Mink says, don't promise kids nothing if you're not going to do it. It only disappoints them. That's true. And life is full of disappointment, but you don't have to kick it off like that. Just don't make lofty promises. Don't make lofty ones. You can make regular promises. Don't make them. Don't be promising, oh, yeah, we said that today we going out and buy a pony. What's a pony? You ain't got enough money to put in the supermarket, John. You know, they used to have little horsey joints in the supermarket. You know what I mean? You tell me the Superman, you know what I mean? You put a little quarter, whatever, called nickel inside the joint. You know what I'm saying? Get your electric, not electric horse. What is this? What's that shit? Mechanical bull and shit. Yeah, but it was a horse. It was not but a little. Yeah, shit was zzz. They used to have that in the market. You ain't even got enough money for that shit. You talking about you going out and buy a pony. What you going? Take him out to Amish country. You going to take him out to Dutch country. Yeah, I mean, out Lancaster. You going to take him out to Lancaster and shit and steal a horse? Nigga, you ain't going to make it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, Farmer John going to shoot you. He gonna shoot you. You ain't got to, but you don't have to do that with children. You ain't got to do that. Carol Chamberlain says, and a child's disappointment lasts forever. You don't want to be your child's first hero and be their first villain. You don't want to do that. It's a you'll really, really confuse the issue. You don't want to do that, though. You ain't got to do that, though. You really don't. It's just not necessary. Sean and Kerry says, that's some cold shit to do to a child. Yeah, that's true. It is. Wyatt's book says, my dad was everything to me. That's a great thing to hear. Because you hear too many times where it's like, you know what I mean, my dad was cool. And it was like when we didn't really start getting close till it was time, you know, till it was close to his death and shit. So we never, you know, you hear too much of that. I mean, I tell niggas all the time, I'm like, listen, I know you got whatever going on in your life, but listen, you dumb black nigga, I'm going to tell you straight up and down, don't let your baby mom, who you beefing with, control the narrative of your behavior to your fucking children. If I got to explain that to you, you too dumb to have kids. You don't want your angry ass black baby mom controlling the narrative of your character to your children. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is you want to come around often to control that narrative. So if anybody anywhere got something to say about you, your child would be like, don't say nothing about my dad because he not like that. As a matter of fact, he coming to get me today and we going, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes we just go sit in the car and we talk for a while. And he coming today. That's what you want your kids to say. Don't say nothing bad about my dad. That's what you want. You don't want to start fitting the narrative that somebody who does not care for you is painting about you. I can't put it no plainer. I can't put it no plainer than that. If you struggle with that or you got something to argue about with that, that's on you, dog. That's my word. My brother Robert Sewell is all up in the house. What's going on, my brother Robert Sewell? Yeah. So yeah, you don't want to be your children's first hero and be their first villain. And it ain't hard to do either one. But I tell you one thing, once you have painted yourself as the good guy in your kid's eyes, it's gonna be real hard for somebody to break that shit. Even serial killers and gangsters and hitmen have had children that was like, shit, but that was my dad, and my dad was a, fuck y'all. He was a loving father. I don't, you know what I mean? He killed who he killed. But that was my dad, and I love him. Even before he got the lethal injection, I still put money on his books. That's how it should be with your kids. So when you know they ain't coming back to get you, kids are very perceptive. They follow patterns very well. How you think they know when you in a good mood and when you're not? So they know when to ask for something and when not to. You know, they calculate like, this is probably not going to be a banana boat Sunday day for Mr. Saucy. Something tells me that today is not a banana boat day. You know what? I catch up with Mr. Saucy tomorrow. Not today. No. All right. Okay, Sherry says, I can separate the two. A man can be a wonderful father, provider for his children, but not know how to love his right wife correctly. But your child shouldn't have to wait like Roxanne's sibling. No, you're right about that. No, you're right about that. Because it's you know, like, I think Carol wrote that, a child's disappointment lasts forever. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way, because you're going to have other disappointments in life that are going to be way worse than the things that you could measure that disappointed you as a child. You know, people are going to let you down all the time, but most of your disappointments a high percentage of your disappointments are going to come from times where your expectations were either unrealistic, lofty, or just in the wrong person. You know, you may have realistic expectations, but you had them with the wrong person, which made them unrealistic. But you didn't know. They knew, though. Shoot, you know when you promise somebody something, but you ain't going to deliver. That's what I'm talking about when they say when you know that they ain't coming back to get you. It's not necessarily them coming back to pick you up. It means basically that you have told somebody that you was going to do something that you had absolutely no intention of doing. Alcohol will make you do that shit. But guess what? Alcohol will make you promise motherfucking shit, but guess what? Sobriety will make you have to deliver on it. Oh, shit. Ask me how I know. I would get to promising motherfuckers all kinds of shit when I used to drink. Oh, yeah, all right, I'm going to come fix your plumbing for you tomorrow. All right, yeah, it's all good. I'm going to come put your toilet in for you tomorrow and your sink. Which one you want? You want the cabinet sink or do you want the the bird, you know, the shit, the sink that sit on top of the joint, you know what I mean, the stand, shit, you know what I'm saying? The bird bath thing, I don't know what you call it, shit, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm gonna come do that shit tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, no, I ain't no big job. You need me to put your water heater in there too? I bet. So I'm gonna be there early. I'm gonna go ahead and knock it out. I'll be there by 9 o'clock tomorrow. It ain't gonna take me long, so I should be finished. I should be finished by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. Oh yeah. About 3 o'clock, I'll be on the body there. Oh, no, you ain't got to pay me a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you said your toilet, your sink, and your water heater, blah, blah, blah. You got the water heater? Oh, I need to go pick up the water heater? All right, well, the water heater. Tell you what, if you want a brand new water heater, or you want, I know where to get it. Anyway, the next day, phone ringing, like, yo, so you on your way? Oh, I'm like, wait. Well, you said you was going to put the sink, the toilet, and the water heater in. And it's 9:15. I'm like, fuck. I'm going to just say I was going to do this shit for. Fuck. I had to go knock that shit out. Pissed. Like, I was supposed to. Fuck. Vicky Brooks. No, I'm sorry. Vicky Brown. Brown. And Dainty. Dainty Bud. What's going on, man? Good to see me. Some of you, thanks for coming through on the Instagram side. I appreciate you. But yeah, when you know they ain't coming back to get you. So, if I made a promise while I was drunk, I had to keep that promise while I was sober. Be mad as hell. Right. But that's what the fuck I get. And I learned that. Like, all right. Stop making promises while you're drunk, oh. Yeah. Chill out, Mr. Generous Johnny Goodtimes. Chill the fuck out. Straight lazy. Carol Chamberlain says, at Omar, some children carry resentment of the parents' disappointment into their adult lives. They do. But I've always believed that somebody put some more seasoning on that to make the disappointment seem a little bit worse. See, it's one thing if you're just being disappointed or whatever, because there's hardly any disappointment that a parent can commit that they can't fix. Because your children, as opposed to anybody else in the world, your children want to see you do well. You ain't going to hear your children running around here saying, I hope my parents die, or I hope they never make it, I hope they never do well in life, because they know if you do well, it trickles down to them. The better you do in life, financially, emotionally, whatever, it works for them. But when they got somebody else, when there's another external force making the disappointment seem a lot worse than it is. Because you got to think, Carol, there have been children who have been abused all of their lives since they was babies, all the way until they got out of that house. And they still love their parents. As children, as they got older, it was like, but I've known people who even made it to adulthood, and they still wanted to see the best in their parents. Like, yeah, you know, my parents, my mom, my dad was going through this blah, blah, blah. And they were very, very abusive and shit. But, you know, I still loved them. And, you know, I still wanted to see them do well. It happened. So, fuck. Okay. Pedestal sink. Thank you. I'm like, you know the joint. The clam. The bowl. The bird bath. What was that movie, The War of the World? You know how to, like, yeah, the sink shaped sort of like that. The War of the World, the spaceship joint. Yeah. Emily says, never make a promise you can't keep. Slow down, ma. Slow down. I mean, you got to chill. You know what I'm saying? All that. Don't make promises you can't keep. You almost saying, like, don't talk. My mouth. Harry Cherry says, well, ghost men all the time. Well, ghost men all the time. I'm not good with goodbyes or telling somebody I don't think it's going to work out. Carol says, well, my mom passed. My youngest brother always said she left him like abandoned him. Oh, he felt. Yeah, well, there's one thing. I mean, we all got to leave this world. But when it's like something that you can't control, when it's a situation that you created for yourself, like, you can fix that, homie. You can fix that, mama. You can fix that. You can fix that. So when you don't take any steps to fix it, you just leave it broken the way it is, it's not a good look. But let's keep it moving. There have been people, like during this pandemic, there have been plenty of jobs that have laid people off. They laid people off and they told, a lot of people have been told, oh, yeah, we're going to bring you back. It's just that right now, you know, shit is fucked up right now. You know, you can't get shit out of the situation, you know, but we're going to come back and grab you. Well, 1 month go by. Pandemic still going. 2 months go by. Pandemic still going. 3 months go by. Pandemic still going. 4 months go by. No end in sight showing. 5 months go by. Pandemic still going. 6 months go by. Pandemic still going. 7 months go by. Pandemic still going. 8 months go by. No end in sight showing. We already all the way on to about 9 months. And 2 more months, it's going to be a year. But some of those businesses did get a chance to open back up. Like in the summertime when it seemed like things were getting up, you know, starting to get back on track or whatever before the second wave came. And now some businesses have had to close back down again. So some people had got called back and some people, it's like, they got called back and they getting put back out again. So it's, but I'm sure that some jobs took the opportunity to lay some people off under the guise of really to fire some people under the guise of laying them off. Like, we know we ain't bringing such and such back. They wasn't bringing nothing to the table when they was here. So the pandemic allowed some businesses to clean house. Like, well, you know, they wasn't representing anyway. They wasn't even representing. So, damn, Carol says, and he had problems all his life with mental issues. He committed suicide as an adult. Whoa. I'm so sorry about that. It's like me and Nara said this shit at the same time. I'm like, Think about this, y'all. Since we talk about it. We're talking a little bit about disappointment. Think about your biggest disappointment as an adult. What would you say your biggest disappointment has been as an adult? Because for all practical purposes in this conversation, that's going to be when somebody didn't come back and grab you. You're like, now, some people may say that my marriage failing was my biggest disappointment as an adult. Some people may say that losing a career or succumbing to an illness that stopped them from from reaching whatever star that they would grab it for. But think about your biggest disappointment. What would you say your biggest disappointment in life is? Even if you don't write it, even if you don't say it, you just think about it. When you measure your biggest disappointment up against your greatest accomplishment or your greatest victory or whatever. Well, I guess the opposite of disappointment is what? Satisfaction? I guess. Cam says the feeling of abandonment is real. It is. And that's why I asked that question. Because some people may say that their biggest disappointment was when, you know, let's say their marriage failed. Because that is actually symbolic of a series of disappointments. You may have been trying to hold on to your marriage and save your marriage and even sacrifice your own happiness in order to keep your marriage or the veneer of marriage, because you may have been worried about the way other people perceive you and your spouse to be and things like that. It can be rough. It really can be. Carol said, my first marriage failure was like getting released from prison. Yeah, well, that's good and bad. That's good and bad. It could have been a totally different way. It could have been like, yo, I really, really love my husband. And I'll do anything to save this thing. Anything. It don't even have to be your husband. Some people go through this in just their relationship. YS Book says there's a study out now that jobs are not bringing people back over 50 years old. Oh, what? They trying to save some, they trying to relieve themselves of some entitlement money. That's just regular business shit. I guess I'm hating anyway, because I ain't never going to be able to retire the way my job history is like, there won't be no retirement for me, you know, not like that. I'm going to have to have my money straight. Ain't going to be that. I won't be getting no gold watch. But I ain't doing no 20 in no job. No 20. No, no. Look, I'm talking about something. I ain't doing no 20 in no job. I remember saying that shit, that I've never worked for a white man again. Ever. Ever. Life. L-I-F-E. All right. We love you too, Carol. You already know. Says, I did, but the abuse was much stronger than the love. It could have been different. It could have been that you really thought that you were doing something wrong, and that's why he had to bash you upside the head. You know what I mean? Like, yo, you ain't do the dishes. What you expect? You see that ring around the tub? What ring? Look at that spot right there. That's a ring. You dirty ass. You nasty ass tub. You got to get smacked up. I mean, you left me no choice. Make sure that y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. If y'all haven't subscribed to the channel yet, it's the daily go get a Mism show. Hit the like button. Hit the like button. Do that thing. Hit the like button. All right. So yeah, we're talking about when you know they ain't coming back to get you. When you know that they ain't coming back to get you. Speaking of marriage, speaking of relationships, speaking of greatest disappointment. How about a scenario like this? How many of y'all have ever been through a scenario where you and the love of your life were kicking it? Y'all was doing the damn thing. Y'all was really, really getting close. And maybe now things wasn't as great as they were before, but let's say that they got another job. They got a job out of state where they was going to have to move to a different state. And they say, yeah, all right, well, I'm moving to this state, but I'm coming to get you, and I'm going to bring you with me. So, you know, like in your job market, they got a lot of stuff out here where, you know, you can come out here and make a better way for your life, and we're going to be together. So they move. So y'all trying to do this long distance relationship thing. It ain't working. But y'all holding fast to the ideal that you're gonna, you know, y'all gonna work it out, and you're gonna come out where they are, and everything. They gonna come and grab you. They gonna come back and get you. Come back and grab you. That shit ain't happening. And you see it not happening. Well, you know, like I was on the internet and I was looking at jobs that was in the market, and they saying that I can work here, that I can work there. And guess what, baby? They told me that I could transfer over there. They told me I could transfer over there. They told me I could transfer over there and everything is going to be all right. I could transfer. I work for Aramark, baby. I could transfer over there. Aramark, baby. I could transfer over there. Aramark, baby, I can transfer over there. And the same house and space, yeah, we can share. You ready for me to come out there? And they like, no, they ain't ready for you to come the fuck out of there. They knew they wasn't coming to grab you when they was going out there. And they done went out there, they done met somebody, you know what I'm saying? They keeping it on the low, and they still keeping you or whatever, so they, you know, they torn between two lovers. You can't come the fuck out there. They can't come back where you are with them. All right, wait. That sounds a little too sinister. Let's just say they haven't established a new relationship. They ain't always like that. But the bottom line is they have established a new life over there, and they don't really want you to be over there. Like, nah, I'm good. You stay here, and I'll be there. You stay here, and I'll be there. If you should ever find someone new, I know he better be good to you. 'Cause if he doesn't, I don't care. You gonna need to get another nigga, honey. Oh! Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 ba. Whenever you need me, I'm over there, way over there. Stop blowing up my cell phone, honey. Ooh! I told you we was just friends. We was just friends. Shit is rad, son. Shit is rad. Well, they told you that they was going to come back and get you, and you know that they ain't. I mean, what you going to do? It could be the situation where, you know, you boo-hoo about it, feel some kind of way about it, get bent out of shape, stressed out, fucked up about it. Or it could be the situation where you haven't accepted the decision that has been handed down. And sometimes it be like that. So it's like, we don't got to be in love at the same time, but you ain't leaving me. So fuck it. One of us is still in love. Still in love. Oh, what can I do, girl? So much in love, girl. But your friends got you thinking, and it's affecting you. What can I do, girl? So in love, girl. Yo, shit is rough, right? Niggas ain't always ready to let go just because the situation says that you should do so. You let go when your heart say let go. And when it don't say let go, you stuck like Chuck. They told you leave a nigga alone. You ain't trying to give a fuck. You don't understand. You know why you don't understand? Because you ain't had no man. You ain't never really had no man. You ain't never had a man like mine. And I know even though we separated at this time, it doesn't mean that we not going to be together again. And right now, we just airing out. But we still friends. And as long as we still friends and we not separated by heart, we going to be back together. And we going to be sour like a Pop-Tart. Captain says, do long distance relationships really work? Asking for myself, I can't see it. Long distance relationships work if you want them to work. But remember that it is work, because you're going to have to gas up cars. You're going to have to buy plane tickets. You're going to have to get on trains, planes, automobiles, buses. It ain't sweet like that when you really want to be right next to somebody. And you would normally be able to just get in the car and go across town and whatever. It ain't, you know, when you have to rearrange schedules, and some people can do it like it's nothing. Not me. You got 100 miles. That's the most I could do. I'm not even going to front like more than 100 miles. I'm like, look, believe me, 100 miles is my, really, that's my fake limit. 100 miles. Traffic. Mm-hmm. 2 hours? Emperor of Legion. What's going on, Emperor of Legion? Thanks for coming on through. Emily said, it's the, you're going to have to get another nigga for me. Oh, man, I know someone who's still waiting on her job in Alaska to call her back. It's dark 6 months out of the year in Alaska. She should be happy. Alaska far as shit. That shit is not in the United States. That's always hanging off the cliff of Canada. Yeah. She can't wait to tell us the punctuation panther is on the loose. I am not. That's not the way you spell lose. Okay, anyway. TK Wright says, I've been in long distance relationships and I liked it. However, one of them landed me that prison sentence that we were talking about. So I'm thinking that they don't work out. Well, right my tongue. Oh, Emily says, no, she loved it there. She's ready to go back. All right, cool. They have some beautiful sights in Alaska. But it's, that shit is not regular cold. That shit is like ridiculous. Yo, being in that kind of cold all year, it would, I think it would really fuck my attitude up. Like, snow and ice all the time, man. Like, yo, man.
We gotta get the fuck up out of here.
I wonder if is it colder in Alaska or Russia? Is it colder in the east or the west? Well, let's see. We can do this. Is it colder in Russia or in Alaska?
Right now it is a freezing minus 10 and partly cloudy in Ore.
So in Ore, Russia, it's 10 below. It says northern fuck. It says northern Russia is colder than Alaska due to northern Russia being on the east side of a large continental landmass, while Alaska is on the west side of a large continental landmass. I also believe Greenland is colder than Alaska. But see, that was in Quora, you know what I mean, where, you know, it's just like people are, you know, it's like an opinion type joint. Let's see. What's this? This is another answer site. After about 50 degrees Fahrenheit, it really doesn't matter. Without proper cold clothing, you won't stay out very long. On the term popsicle kicks in. Coldest I've ever seen here in the interior Alaska. Coldest I've ever seen here in the interior of Alaska was about minus 72 degrees Fahrenheit. About 1992, 1993, with a lot of minus 50 degree Fahrenheit since then. Upside, as we get warmer summers, this year has been a bit more on the hot side with the temperatures brushing the 90s. Not sure what Russia gets, but it can be a lot of difference. Cold is cold, and we are pretty close to the same latitude up north. Let's see. Siberia is much colder than and much more consistent than Alaska. I've lived in both places. All parts of Russia get pretty cold. Different kind of cold, with Siberia having the coldest temperature. So maybe Russia is colder than Alaska. Yo, man. Russia big as shit. And cold. So is Alaska. Chicago is cold. I don't know how they do it up there. That's why they be killing so much in Alaska. I mean, in Chicago. It's too cold. You're talking about the Windy City. They should have called it why don't they just call it the Freezy City? Because I guess Milwaukee and Minneapolis have been like, ah, that shit ain't cold. Come over here. It's cold over here. Ain't got no cold in Chicago. That's down south. It's crazy. All right. Okay. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. Let's do these birthday shout-outs and get on the pot of here, man. You know what I'm saying? I think we've done enough. I feel it. Mix. Hey, yo. Y'all got to hit that like button. Y'all got to share the show. Y'all got to subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, subscribe to the channel. Brown eyes. You be pulling up the red, but you know what I mean? You all right with me. You all right with me. Word up. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. January 4th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-E-E-C-T. They get the R-E-S-E-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Remember when I was the boxer, Nasir Muhammad. Actually, that says Nasir Mahmoud. Nasir Mahmoud Adam. Happy birthday to you and Yolanda Fields, turning 54 years old today. And Sheila Key, happy birthday to you. And Sudana Amara, turning 30 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Ann Thomas, turning 50 years old today because she's a 1970 baby. Oh, with the blonde, with the crippled, the crazy. Yes, she is. And my girl, Tiffany Queen, sexy Burton, also turning 50 because she's a 1970 baby. Oh, with the blonde, with the crippled, the crazy. Oh, yeah. But she a Cowboys fan. And also Mildred Morris turning 38 years old today. And Clarice Denise turning 43 years old today. And Joyce Taylor, happy birthday to you. And Ty Nihon turning 39 years old today. And my man Marlon Prince, Marlon Marl, happy birthday to you, Marlon. Go get a Marlon. And Georgina Jacobs turning 39 years old today. Happy birthday. Yay. Oh, and she's the last one. And she's last but not least. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious January 4th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on and do the damn, the damn, the rock out. Rock on and do the damn rock out. Rock on and do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours. And remember, listen, man. You know, when you know that they ain't coming back to get you, yeah, that's one of those things that can really cause a lot of disappointment in your life. It's one of those things that can break bonds of trust. It's one of those things that can leave a sour taste in your mouth and make you feel like you don't want to try again, you don't want to do again, you don't want to be friends with somebody that you used to be friends with again and again. But just like anything else in life, we have to try again. And knowing your opponent is always the key to being able to play opponent effectively and be able to win in the end. Now, we shouldn't have to look at the people that we care about, and who we depend on as opponents. But everything in your life is an opponent if you expect to ever really do anything that's effective. Just because somebody is your opponent doesn't mean that they're your enemy. So we want to minimize our enemies, but we have to recognize our opponents. I want to thank y'all for coming through and checking out the Daily Go Get'emism show on a regular basis. It's 2021, and we got some new shit coming on. Oh, yo, thanks y'all for checking me out on the Chinchilla Jones show last night. Chinchilla Jones. I know Robbie asked me, was it every Sunday? She's on every Sunday, but I won't be on there every Sunday. I'm here every day. But if I'm back on the show, I will let y'all know. I'll put y'all on and then y'all come through. So shout out to my peoples for coming through. No shout out to the people who don't check out this show, but they see the flyer for that show and go. But you know what I mean? Listen, man, love is love. You know, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? But I ain't gonna front like I don't feel no kind of way. I'm like, yo, so you don't listen, yo, we, what? But, still I rise. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. Love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love you right back to life. That's my word. So with that being said, we about to be on the body here, but we will be back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So fret not and forget not. And I'll see y'all tomorrow night. So let me get Blog Talk on the body here. I holler back at you.